Speaking on this program is Mark Lance.
Morning. If you would, take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 9. Today's reading is from Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them the power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, "Take nothing for the journey, neither staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them." So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch, heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed, because it was said by some that John had risen from the dead, and by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the old prophets had risen again. Herod said, "John, I have beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things?" So he sought to see him.
Good morning to everyone. Trey does a really good job, doesn't he? Did an outstanding job on the devotion, and Scott did Wednesday night. I was the only one here Saturday. And I know Robert did when I was gone as well. We have some talent among the congregation, and we're thankful from time to time that we get to hear those people speak. This morning I want us to look at Luke 9. Now we looked at the 70s that were sent out, actually in Luke 10. I'm going to go back and look at what's called the Limited Commission. But one thing I need to mention that's not in the bulletin is the lectureship starts at Gonzales on Thursday and goes through Sunday. And now they're having a crawfish bowl on Saturday to go with the lectureship. So great preaching and great food too. So if you can get that, and I'll get you some hours on that. I'm sure everybody had that. We've got Gonzales and then our meeting. And then De Gaulle, back to back to back. And fortunate enough, without even us talking, they all worked out that way without any of us planning on top of the other one. So now I was scheduled to speak next Sunday morning, but with our gospel meeting taking place, I'm going to be here. And we look forward to hearing Brother Stan Crowley bring the gospel. And one I didn't mention in prayer publicly that I want to mention now, we do pray for, is Brother Hugh. We want to mention him and keep him in our prayers. His health is not good, so we pray for good things for him and his family. It's good to be here this morning worshiping God, isn't it? A lot of people take this privilege for granted. Just look around you. We have a decent number here this morning, but there's obviously a lot more that either haven't gotten out of the bed yet, or they're out on the lake, they're out doing various things. Maybe they're having that crawfish bowl today, so they don't have time to come and worship God. Brethren, I'm glad that you have made the decision to be here and to worship God. And there's some very important questions we want to ask as we go through this text. Notice in the very beginning of Luke 9, it says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases." Now, some of these things are going to sound very familiar to chapter 10, because he told some of them the certain things about the same thing, about you going to the city, they don't receive you. Well, that didn't change, because the teachings of Jesus never change. But he sent 12 out. Now, he's going to send them in pairs, as we see. But, brethren, here's one thing I want us to keep in mind. A lot of people have this mentality that if you're a small congregation, there's just a very limited amount you can accomplish. You hope to keep the doors open. That is not so, and we should never buy in that false kind of thinking. Because Jesus thought enough to send 12 people out, and they turned the world upside down. And brethren, if we will do what we're supposed to do, we can lead others to Christ as well. And that is our major goal in life, isn't it? Serve God and teach the gospel to others. Now, there's plenty of other things that we have to do. We have to work. We have to make a living. But brethren, the most important thing that you ever will ever do is serve God and also teach others the gospel. And if you are thankful for your salvation, and I'm sure that you are, you should want to take that gospel that saved your soul to other people so they can see the message of God, the good news. And our world needs some good news, doesn't it? But we have it. Into our hands the gospel is given. I'm glad that God has allowed me to be a teacher of His Word. But see, He wants you to be a teacher as well. It may not be publicly, but you can teach publicly, but you can also teach privately. But He sent them out. He wants them to go to work. Now think, they've got families. They had jobs. They were obviously living before this. So they made some changes in order to accomplish something that was greater. Brethren, we need to realize what's the greatest thing in life. And that is serving our God, because this life is temporal. It's not going to last forever. And it's not meant to last forever. These bodies that we have, they decay day by day. And man tries so hard to find that fountain of youth. And people have plastic surgery and this kind of surgery. But brethren, there's one thing that's going to happen to all of us unless the Lord returns first, and that's we're all going to die. That's something that we're going to be faced with. But we don't have to dread that if we are a Christian, do we? We can look forward to that day because the toils of this life will be over. We will face no more of the struggles that we have faced in this life. That is a day that we should look forward to. That should give us hope, not look on it as other people in life look upon it. Well, I'm getting older. I know that life is becoming more brief. Brethren, the child of God says the race is almost run. I've run a good race. I finished the course. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. The Lord has waiting for us. Brethren, that's what we are doing. We are running a race. Make sure that you don't stop in this race. I see so many people that do. They start the race. And sometimes they start very good, but they don't finish the race very well. They start for a while, and then the cares of this world choke out the service to God, the worship services, and other things take over. Brethren, don't let that happen to you. But also notice this point. Don't think that it can't happen to you, because there's not a one of us that is above sin. Everybody is subject to that. So don't think that it can't be you. And brethren, if we are faithful children of God, if we see somebody that has never become a Christian, if we see somebody that is a child of God but has fallen by the wayside, our goal should be to pick them up and help them along the way. Bring them back to what they used to be. Restore them. Galatians 6, verse 1. And brethren, that is our great work. And we need workers in the field of God. Verse 2 says, "And He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." Now, they had the ability to perform miracles to prove that they were sent by God. Because there had always been those teaching false doctrine. That was nothing new. You go back to the days of Jeremiah when God had told Jeremiah, "Tell the people that if they don't repent, I'm going to punish them. And they're going to go off into captivity." There were false prophets in that says, "Jeremiah doesn't know what he's talking about. Don't listen to him." But was it true? It was the message of God. Of course it was true. And it happened exactly like God said. So brethren, don't listen to the false prophets and know what the will of God is. The only way that you will do that is by applying yourself to the Word of God. That's going to take some time and efforts. In verse 3, we see where Jesus begins to speak to them. "And He said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece." Now, that's going to take some faith. That's going to take some trust. But now, what happens? What happens if you trust Jesus? Don't take two coats. Don't go as though you're not going to be taken care of. What do you have to do? They have to depend on Jesus. But now, if you do that, remember what He sent them out to do, to go out and preach the Word of God. Teach the Word of God. Brethren, when they trusted in God, they accomplished things for the cause of Christ. Let me ask one of the questions that I have for us this morning. And this is to even, and not only even, but especially to members of the body of Christ. Does our lack of faith, we could ask this to a preacher, we could ask this to an elder, a deacon, a Bible class teacher, any member, but does our lack of faith, does it stop us from doing what we could do if we trusted in God? Now you're going to have to leave some things behind, but I'll need those things. No, Jesus said, I'll take care of you. You're going to have what you need. Now you may not have all the benefits that the world has to offer on every occasion. He didn't promise you that. But He said, you trust in Me. Quit trusting in yourself. I'd have to admit, and I think most of us would, sometimes I find myself doing that. Trusting in myself, well, we tend to trust in what we can see right before us, don't we? If I can see, here it is, well, I could see that, so I'm taken care of. Brethren, faith. Faith in God. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Matthew 6, verse 33. Do we have that faith? Now, it doesn't matter what level our faith may be upon. It needs to grow. But if our faith will grow, here's some things that we can push out, and actually some also some things that we can accomplish. We can push out doubt. That's what faith accomplishes. We can remove the doubts, and we can actually live with confidence, knowing that God will provide every need that I have. Well, sometimes things are difficult. Yes. The road will not always be easy. That is not what we're promised as Christians, is it? And that is to teach false doctrine, to teach that become a Christian and everything's easy. And that's one of the problems with these TV evangelists, these false ones that you see. Send your money to me and God's going to bless you so many times over. Well, that's a hoax to take people's money from them. But what is that person praying on? What is that false TV evangelist doing? He's preying upon other people's lack of faith and trust in God to take advantage of them. And their hope to have something that God did not promise them. That you would have riches in this world. That everything's going to be easy in this world, because He didn't promise that. So if we have faith, we can push out those doubts. We can overcome our fears. And most likely everybody here has some of some type that we have to deal with, because that is something that is common to all people. We are human. We have temptations. God, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. Oh, God is the source. God is the place to turn. God is the one that will provide, and we must trust Him. But now look at something else, the positive side of what we can accomplish if we will trust in God and have the faith that we're supposed to have. God said, My word will never return unto Me void. Do you believe that? Well, we should. It's the Word of God. Well, what about when you're approaching your neighbor, your family, your co-worker? Well, they won't listen anyway. God said, you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. See, our goal, our purpose, our work is to go out and do what God, what Jesus has told us to do. Let His Word do what it's supposed to do. And leave the rest in God's hands. But don't doubt the Word. Don't doubt that the Word can accomplish what God says that it can. We need to have faith that when God said, My Word will not return unto Me void, it will accomplish what it's supposed to do. So go out and teach. Some will reject you. The majority rejected the Christ. So don't be surprised if they reject you. But brethren, have that faith. And that faith, it will not only push out the fears and the doubts, it will also bring rewards, souls to Christ. And we see our faith when it's put into action. God does what He said that He will do. Therefore, our faith will grow stronger. Why? Because we have learned to depend upon God. That's what He's telling them here. You're going to have to depend upon Me. See, these men had great faith. And I want to point out to you, one of them would have been Peter. Of course, one of them would have been Judas. But let's focus on Peter for just a moment. Peter's going to have a great faith enough to leave his job and go out and preach the Word to others. And not take a big bunch of supplies with him. He's going to trust in the Lord. That's a great faith. But now let me remind you, this great man of faith, later on, is the same one that denied he knew the Lord. He stumbled. But he repented, and God still used him. Now, look at ourselves. You say, I have faith, and I repented of my sins, and I was baptized, I'm a Christian. Perhaps you led other people to Christ. But maybe for whatever reason, whatever it may be, you grew weak, as Peter grew weak. Maybe it was the pressure and temptation of the people around you. Everybody's against doing right, it seems. Well, Peter gave in to that. I don't know Jesus. I'm not one of those disciples. But see, that was not the end for Peter, and neither does it have to be for you or for me. See, we sin, but God gave us an advocate, the one Jesus Christ. He's our go-between, between us and God. And see, when we as God's children sin, it does not have to be the end of all things. No, not if we're willing to give our lives back to God. But now if we stop, see, there's the other side, Judas. He had to have some faith to follow God. He was there with them. But he betrayed the Lord and he quit. He stopped. See, we have a choice before us, don't we? What will we do with the Jesus? What will we do with the Christ? And this morning, that question will come to all of us. What will you do with the Christ? Will you submit to Him if you've never obeyed Him? Is your faith the kind of faith that will cause you to obey God and put your trust in Him and submit in baptism? If you're a child of God and there's sin in your life, do you have the kind of faith that will say, God, I sinned against Thee, and I am so sorry. Forgive me. Allow me to serve Thee again. And God does forgive us as we walk in the light. He is in the light. And the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sins. See, we have a choice before us, don't we? So when we sin, it doesn't have to be the end result of all things unless we choose for it to be. See, that is a choice that we make. No one knows what He says in verse 4. And whatsoever house you enter into, there abide and thence depart. But Jesus, I don't like staying with other people. Don't feel comfortable. Sometimes we have to leave our comfort zone in order to teach the gospel. Because that is more important than always feeling comfortable. But I've never talked to other people about the gospel. Well, if you don't talk to anybody about the gospel now, this time next year, you're still going to say the same thing. See, sometimes you have to get your feet wet. And experience is a good teacher, isn't it? And so we go out and we teach the Word of God. Will we be like Jesus and teach perfectly? No. But we have a perfect standard of which we know to look at. Sometimes we as humans don't have the answer, but we know the one that does. Sometimes people ask you a question, you can't answer it right then. Say, I don't know, but I'll find out. Now, there are some things that are not revealed unto us. We need to leave those things that are not revealed unto us, the things that belong unto God. We need to leave them with God and not try to be answer for God. And take a place, a position that is not ours to take. But notice what he says in verse 5, and whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for testimony against them. See, there are some people that Jesus said you are to reject. You need to move on. There's other people that need to hear the gospel. This person needs the gospel. Everybody does. Go. But when it is obvious they have refused the gospel, He says, you shake the dust off your feet, you move on to the next one. And brethren, there comes a time. That doesn't mean we shut the door. If later on somebody wants to hear the gospel and is willing, certainly go back to them. But sometimes we have to learn. There's going to be users and abusers of the church out there. You're going to find out even in this chapter, if you read the entire chapter, there's some that follow Jesus because of the food. Hey, this is kind of something new. I hadn't seen this. Brother, we're going to see people that they stay with the church as long as they can use the church. As long as there's some kind of financial gain for them. And then once that's taken care of and they don't need that or it's dried up, they're gone too. Don't let that stop you. I know it can be discouraging at times. You don't let that stop you. You keep on teaching what Jesus said to teach. He says, you shake the dust off your feet. Sometimes there may be a member of the body of Christ that will betray you. You know, there's times when the world obviously will betray us because light and darkness don't meet. Well, that's not any fun, is it? But there's also occasions when those that we thought were faithful will betray us. That hurts a little bit more. Because we trusted them. We counted on them. But brethren, even that should never stop us and deter us from fulfilling what God would have us to do. And we see here in verse 6, actually verse 5, and whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed. That little phrase is important. You know what that says? They did what Jesus said to do. They didn't ask questions, but Jesus, what about? They trusted Jesus. Question this morning. Do you trust the Lord? As you should. How strong is your faith? We have what we call our new converts class in the back. And that's one thing that we talk about. Our faith will grow stronger through time as we apply ourselves. But this morning, it may not matter how long you've been a member of the body of Christ. How strong is your faith? Is your faith strong enough that you're out there, you're one of these teachers that Jesus is talking about? You're out there supporting gospel meetings. You're out there teaching others. Oh, the congregation here, they can count on you. Because, see, James tells us, James 2:19, the demons believe and tremble. They know that God is real. But they refuse to submit to Him. So perhaps you know that God is real. Perhaps you've obeyed Him to a certain extent. But the demons believe and tremble. Nobody thinks they will be in heaven. I've never met the person that thinks the demons will believe in heaven. What about Satan? He knows that God's real, but he won't be in heaven. Why? He refused to submit to God. So you know that God is real. That's good. That's a good thing. But are you willing to give your life to God? Are you willing to submit to God? They departed. They went. They did what God said to do. Brethren, that's what we must do. And sometimes all the conditions will not be pleasant. Sometimes the road will not always be easy. But brethren, whatever we may suffer in this life is nothing to compare with the glory that awaits us. Have you thought about that glory that awaits us? Jesus is preparing a place for us now. And we're closer than we were. Have you thought about being there with the Lord and looking upon His face and being with God and the Holy Spirit? See, that is a real thing. We have to sometimes look beyond right here, right now, and say, I won't let this difficulty, I won't let this trouble, I won't let this problem, I won't let it stop me from serving God. I will keep on. I will press toward the calling of God in Christ Jesus. I will not stop. They departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. But now notice this. Not everybody is happy. Even when people are doing what they're supposed to do. Verse 7. Now Herod, this is Herod Antipas, the son of Herod the Great, the tetrarch, heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed, because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead, John the Baptist. I thought I killed him. I thought I stopped him. You can kill a child of God, you'll never stop the gospel. It will continue to go. But brethren, here's another very important point. What got John into trouble? John the Baptist. She doesn't belong to you. You can't have her. Now that was Herod that he was in trouble with. Here's one problem I see, brethren. John the Baptist would be in trouble with a lot of our brethren today. If he said the same statement, it's not lawful for you to have her. She belongs to somebody else. A lot of brethren would be upset with him. Some would use this as a measure of church growth. I had a man back before Katrina stood in the office and talked. He had divorced his wife and married another. Not for fornication. It finally came to the point after discussion. We finally discussed it. I guess at least you could give him credit for being honest. He said, yeah, this one could divorce and marry another one, and that one can divorce and marry another, and so forth and so on, and hey, the pews start filling up. At what cost? At what cost do we want church growth at? Brother, not at the cost of truth. Not at the cost of fellowshipping false doctrine. Sometimes we're so interested in numbers and money that we'll sacrifice truth. See, John the Baptist would be in trouble with a lot of our brethren today. He would be run out of town. Jesus Christ would be in trouble with a lot of our brethren today. They would be ready, as the religious people of his day were, to put him on a cross. Let's get rid of him. Why? Because he teaches a message that doesn't go along with what we want to do. Brethren, it's not a popularity contest, though. We're interested in what the Word of God says. Sometimes teaching truth will add numbers. Sometimes teaching truth, numbers will change. They will go down. You teach the truth anyway. What about the man Stephen? What got him in trouble? We read in the book of Acts. He taught them the truth. They should have known it already from the Old Testament Scriptures. But they rejected him and the message of God. And they killed him. Brethren, that is nothing new for our day, that truth is rejected. Not just by the people that would fit into the shoes of Herod, but sometimes those that are religious, and sometimes those that profess to be members of the body of Christ. Rather, we don't sacrifice truth for that, though. In verse 8, he says, and some thought he was Elijah and appeared, coming back from the dead. And of others, that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John have I beheaded. But who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. Now comes another one of our questions. Do you desire to see Jesus? Now Herod had some ill motives in mind. He didn't want to see him so he could learn what he needed to do for salvation. And it's unfortunate. Not everybody wants to hear the gospel. so they can be saved. But what about you? Do you want to see Jesus? I hope that we would say with a resounding yes, and every single one of us, yes, I want to see Jesus. When He returns in the clouds, every eye will see Him. But on the day of judgment, some are going to be told to depart. You worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Some will hear the words, enter into the joy of thy Lord, thou good and faithful servant. It just depends upon how you view Jesus. This morning, as He, your Savior, and you can't pray for Jesus to come into your heart and be saved. The Bible doesn't teach it. What does the Bible teach? Some of it we already covered. Jesus said Himself, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's not hard to understand. On the day of Pentecost, when the church first started, AD 33, the gospel is proclaimed. Jesus is proclaimed. People are guilty of their sin. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Acts 2, verse 37. And the answer that Peter gave is the answer that we still give today. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, by His authority. Why? For the remission of sins. Brethren, that is the message of good news, isn't it? Jesus Christ came and died on the cross. He was buried, but He was also resurrected and ascended back to the Father in heaven. And He's going to come back for His own and deliver the church up to the Father. He must be in that number. You must be a part of the body of Christ that faithfully serves God if you want heaven to be your home. And when that trumpet sounds, it'll be a trumpet of joy. But if you don't obey God, if you don't follow God faithfully, when that trumpet sounds, it's going to be a terrible noise because you've waited too long. And there'll be no more time, there'll be no more opportunities to change your position in life, your position for eternity. But how do you view the Christ? Would you like to see the Christ? Would you like to see Him as your Savior? If you do, would you submit to Him this morning by repenting and being baptized? If you remember the body of Christ and the sin in your life, would you see Him by repenting of your sins and letting us pray with you and for you that you may once again walk faithfully in His service? We pray that you will. Will you come as we stand and as we sing?
God is God, the Father will come without